Welcome back. Here's where you left off.
Spoilers ahead for 0 Days, chapters 11 through 14. So we started off with a cliffhanger from the last episode. It was kind of nice to get into and see how she was going to escape the call center, Leonard. I was like, oh, is she going to get out? What's happening? What do you think?
Yeah, that was pretty exciting, actually. That whole way that she escaped and how she's trying to figure out how to escape was a very intense moment in the book, especially in that chapter. It's like the whole book so far is very intense, but this portion of it, you feel like you're stuck with her, right? There's points that she's trying to get out. She's trying to figure it out. There's an emergency exit. Someone's blocking it. And your heart rate is like beating so fast that next thing you know, she goes to an empty desk. She picked up the receiver and pretending she's talking to someone. And when the security guard came in and started knocking on the door and asking, hey, did you see any suspicious? And the first thing in her mouth is like, yeah, you are. You're interrupting me in my important phone call. Right,
but it was a good ploy. It was a really great. It was ploy. You're right. I was about to talk about that scene. It was great. It was just wonderfully written, and it was. She really did a great job of, is she going to get out or is she going to get caught? It's hard to get tension in a book.
Yeah,
it's really hard to do, and she did a phenomenal job with that. And I really applaud Ruth for doing that.
Yeah,
I did enjoy her getting out of the company, out of it, and then the next part was just the test to find out if hell was actually hell, and that was pretty fun. And it was. I mean, Cole's response was pretty lame, Bluey.
Yeah, it's the where the book is now, where we are right now in the book itself. It feels like she's trying to figure everything out slowly, but in the same time, when she figures something out, it's her surprise it's just because every time she finds something, she has this an emotional connection to this result or to this finding she has, and she just doesn't know what to do with it. Like when she found out that when she was messaging her sister, and next thing you know, she found out it's actually Cole, and you felt that her heart just dropped, right? You felt that moment in time that she was so betrayed and confused in the same time, that she just doesn't know what to do, right? She's just paralyzed, because remember, at this point, she's been shocked. She just lost her husband. She's being framed for murder, and now she has this. Now she thought she was talking to her sister. She's not talking to her sister anymore. It's actually this guy. It's Cole, and her world just like start falling apart even more. But at the same time, she's trying to pick herself up, trying to think how to get out of the situation. But as soon as she finds out, she finally got move over to the next hurdle, everything just drops again, right? And you said when she found out that she was talking to Cole instead of her sister, and testing finding out if this is really her sister or Cole, right? When she finally was in hell, she just like lost it. It was great.
Right. I was like Bluebell. I'm like, okay, that's a decent enough name. But it was really funny when Cole calls her, and he starts going on about, I'm trying to protect you, and I'm like, come on, dude, she's not gonna buy that.
Protector,
whatever. I mean, you know. But the fun thing is, we learn what's actually going on, and I was reading it and going, okay, are we actually going to learn the reason that Gabe died? And it seems that Gabe found an exploit, which is sort of like a software bug that it will allow somebody to get into a program and be able to exploit that to use it. But a software developer knows that the bug exists, and they're creating a workaround to fix it. And that's what this countdown is, down to 0 days, down to the time where the software developer will be able to fix it. And so it's still a little unclear as to what the heck Cole is doing, but he's very clear that these people are willing to kill her.
Yeah, over it. I think your theory last episode actually was holding up very well, because at this point right now, Cole has been explaining to Jack, okay, this is what's happening. Gabe is helping, is being a good friend. Like, he's being such a good friend. He found this exploit, told his best friend who works for the company, right? And next thing you know, it's like, well, now I'm in trouble. So I have this feeling you are right, that Cole was literally doing something sketchy right now. As how it stands, he's doing something sketchy, and his best friend found something and did the right thing, contacting his friend. It's like, hey, I found this, right? This exploit. And now I have this feeling that Cole went back to his, I don't know, quote unquote handler or boss or whatever, told that person, hey, my buddy found this. We need to do something about this, or else we're gonna lose all the stuff that we're doing. I had this feeling could be a foreign power, or it could be the mob. That's what they've been saying right all along. It could be a foreign power or the mob, right? Or organized crime here. So based on how Gabe was killed, there's a good chance it is a professional hit, and the only people that's professional hit are organized crime or a foreign entity. Right, so it is aligning based on what's actually happening in the book right now, but we still don't know if Cole is, quote unquote, if Cole is actually part of this whole thing, right? He could be just like,
oh, he's part of it.
Oh, he is part of it. But how innocent is he, or how in depth is he in charge of this whole thing, or is he the person that actually sold this information to someone else, right? We just don't know.
I don't think that. No, I think that he's neck deep in it. And Gabe, I think my theory would be that Gabe found out somehow, right? Goes to Cole, tells him about it. Cole is like, oh, buddy, I'll take care of it. Goes, tells his handler, as you say. And then they're like, we'll deal with it. And then Gabe shows up dead.
Yeah.
And their goal is to frame her so it's nice and clean. The wife killed the husband, that kind of scenario, whatever. And I find it hilarious that Cole's like, I'm trying to protect you.
Yeah.
But in a way, him trying to kiss her is like, oh, I, you know, the whole, like I told you before, the whole romance, like I'm obsessed with you kind of thing. That sort of makes sense.
Well, it could be just a ploy too.
It could be just a ploy. Yes, that's true. But I think my point will go to my next point, is that she's so desperate after speaking with Cole, she does. And I really like the way she wrote in the book how revolting it was to her to actually reach out to Jeff, because she needed the code off of Gabe's phone, right?
Yeah.
Actually,
before we go that route, though, before we discuss that, the reason why Jack reached out to Jeff, because the only money that she has currently is whatever money she can get from her sister, right? And whatever Bitcoin that Gabe has is about 10 grand, right? And the only way she can get those cash out of the account and move to her physically is she needs that code. It's a two-factor authentication, right? So she can enter the passcode, but she needs to verify. There's a code that needs to be sent to verify. And it's linked to Gabe's phone that the police has. The only way that she can get it, she has to contact her abusive ex-boyfriend, right? And the good thing about this portion of this assignment is we got more backstory regarding Jack and Jeff and how abusive it is. It's really bad. I was like super, super like annoyed how bad it is, right? Bad in a way that it's a bad relationship thing, and how she escaped, how they met, and all that stuff. So at least we have that backstory. But she ending up reaching out to Jack, right? And Jack has and he has this smug, this like, I got you now, right? And if you want this, you better meet me in person, right? And this is where, to be honest, I got a little confused. But I kind of understand when I kept reading it, right? And when they went to Trafalgar
Square. You got fooled.
I literally got fooled. I was like slow clapping in my head. I'm like, yes, you fooled me in this one. Thank you.
I didn't believe it for 1 second. When I was reading it, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. She's not this, this doesn't work. I don't get this. She knows Jeff is a jerk. She knows he's going to betray her. What is this stuff? And I didn't think of Hel being there, but at the same time, when I was reading the chapter, I'm like, is this her rehearsing what will happen? Which was my thought while I was reading. But then when it was revealed it was Hel, I'm like, okay, I'm there. All right. I knew there was something. I didn't know what. So she kind of got me where I couldn't figure out who it was or how she figured it out. But I knew it wasn't her because she's not that dumb.
No. She's definitely not dumb. But when she said Hel was being arrested, right? I was like, oh, I did not see that. Right, and you're right, she is a very intelligent woman, and she contacted her sister, it's like, hey, I have to get this code, are you okay being arrested? That's fine, my husband's a solicitor and she has friends, I can get out of this pretty fast, you have nothing on me, right? And she volunteered, she's willing to volunteer to help clear her sister's name, right? And I was like, kudos to that one. But it was a very intense moment. Right. It was for that. It was a very brief, intense moment that caught me off guard. But at the same time, when she said, oh, Hel got arrested, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. What? So it was nice to she really got me. She got me in that scenario of like, wow. Right. So kudos to that one. Kudos. It was good writing. I totally enjoyed that. So,
yeah.
So now
I did enjoy the next scenario here was also really interesting, where now she has to figure out how to get the phone. And the idea is, if I can't get the physical phone, I can clone it, and I have to go to the dark web and use the Bitcoin to be able to transfer that. And that was very interesting. That was chapter 14. And I really enjoyed that chapter as well, because there was a lot in there that had her sort of going on faith and trying to figure out how to get this done, and meeting some, what I assume was like a 15-year-old kid kind of idea.
Eh? Yeah, 16, about a teenager, like late teen, early 20s. So before you said she went to the dark web trying to sell the Bitcoin for cash, right? That's all she can do, right? And she ended up meeting this guy. It's like, hey, I'll buy your Bitcoin for the full amount, so we'll just do an exchange. She ended up taking she hitchhiked. She literally hitchhiked to this truck stop, and the truck driver literally said, "I know who you are. You don't have to do. Are you okay? I know who you are." And she explained that, oh, the cops like is doing this, blah blah blah, and he was very sympathetic. It shows that shows Jack that there's other people out there that got accused for something that they didn't do, and she is not alone. And that interaction between her and the truck driver was very, very nice. It brings back, it slows down the pace of the book, right? It just slows it down. We see a side of Jack of like, she's very paranoid. In the same time, she has to trust Faith. But remember, this is not the first time this happened to her, because there's a scene there when she was in the train trying to escape while she was running. There's a lady there asks her, it's like, hey, are you okay? And she just snaps like, no, I'm fine. Leave me alone. I'm leaving. Leave me alone. But in this case, she ending up just having a one-on-one conversation with a truck driver that he was in the same position as her, right? And it was just a nice feel of slowing down the pace of the story, and brings back the humanity of it just brings back the fate of humanity in her, right? And it was a nice scene. I totally enjoyed that part, by the way. I really do. And now we're going to be talking about something that's kind of interesting. This is when the interaction between the person she met from the dark web to now. She met in the dark web, tried to exchange the money, and their interaction was very geniusly written, because when they were about to exchange, when she finds out, it's like, oh, the Bitcoin that they were supposed to exchange, you owe me 20,000, is only 18,000.
Right? Yeah, you know, that was great writing. I was like, oh, that sucks. That, because she has nothing left to give. She has nothing more to do. And to be fair to the guy, I would not say he was being a jerk. He's like, this is what we agreed on. This is what I want from you.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, to be fair to the guy, he's like, the guy I work with does not, you know, mess around. So
yeah,
you've got to give me the money. And I was sitting there thinking, what does she have? And she was like, here's $50 out of my pocket.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. And I never even connected the wedding ring, which was a really interesting moment.
Yeah. Yeah. That portion of chapter 14 was heartbreaking. It like the writing on this side, just writing alone, and that it was like, I don't know how many pages it was, but it was very, very intense moment of like, Gabe gave me this wedding ring, this engagement ring. It means nothing to people, but the sentimental value of this ring is so high for her that if she parts it, there's another thing that she has to give away or lose a piece of Gabe, right? But at the same time, she knows what she has to do to survive or try to figure out who framed her, right? And in that moment of lost or a moment of like, I have nothing left. This is it. If I give this away, I have 20 grand in my pocket, right? But at the same time, I lost another piece of my husband, right? And that moment, it was so heartbreaking reading it. And it was emotionally exhausting reading it because it was so intense, right? Do you agree? Am I just blowing out of proportion here?
It was very intense. And I was, again, sort of it's weird because I found that moment more shocking than the previous chapter where the reveal was about Hell, because even though Hell was like, hey, you're smart, this was, as you say, emotionally very a large point of the book. And technically, what is it? Madrox was the name of the guy.
Madrox or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's like, hey, I'm trying to work with you here. You got to give me something, right?
Yeah.
And so it was hard to sit back and say, but you knew obviously she was going to give it up. It's just she had to go through the process to do it.
Yeah.
And once she did and she got the phone, I was thinking, you're really basing a lot on this phone. I mean, number one, I have lots of questions, by the way. I don't know how the last four chapters of the book's going to go, but I have lots of questions. Number one, is this phone legit? She did something off the dark web and, you know, maybe they fooled her somehow and did some BS. Number two, you know, this is, if they did do it correctly, this is Gabe's phone, a clone of Gabe's phone, which the police can then track.
Yes, that's right.
So she doesn't really have a lot of time to do anything.
No, no.
The third thing is that, okay, let's assume you go and you get access to Gabe's stuff. You don't actually know what you're looking for, right? So, I mean, unless Gabe put in, like, the secret thing that I found and, like, you know, she doesn't actually know what she's looking for. So there's so many unknowns here in doing that. I'm thinking, you just gave up your wedding ring for this, and there's a lot of uncertainty here. There's like,
you're right. There is a lot of uncertainty regarding this transaction here, because she's giving Gabe's phone for the two-factor authentication or the whatever she needs to say, hey, If you want the code, you have to have this phone. Fair, that makes sense, right? If I go to the bank, I need my phone to do the two factor, right? It's normal. Everyone does it, right? But for her to get a phone back, it's like, yeah, I have this feeling the phone itself is a two factor authentication, saying, hey, I can transfer the money from this account to this account, right? It's a simple transfer, right? Whatever. But you're right. She doesn't know until she actually investigated. But the only thing that she got to go for is the confirmation that it is 20 grand. Sorry, 10 grand. $20,000 or whatever, $20,000. And now that's what she has, right? And now you're right, because now the police is gonna track this phone that she just gave away to this youth, and she needs to get out of there as fast as can before, just in case the cops decide, hey, we found this ping in this phone, we need to grab it right now. She even says that there was an issue regarding if the phone's been locked or not, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of outstanding questions here that I'm thinking. We only have 4 chapters left in the book, and the 0 days piece is coming out. We don't technically know who, I mean, Cole's there, but he says he's being framed by these other people, which in a way, I don't know. I mean, yeah, sure, that makes sense. But what about Cole is telling us in the next few chapters, how much involvement is he going to be? And I have this sneaking suspicion that Jack is going to use Jeff in some fashion before the end of the book, which I personally would love. I would love if Ruth writes it this way, if she uses Jeff in a way to close the case or get Cole. That would be great. Talk about using two guys against each other, you know, in doing that. But do you have any thoughts about the last couple chapters coming up, or what you're looking for?
Because right now, where we are right now in the book, and based on the whirlwind tour that we got in the roller coaster emotion that we've been given, right? And I feel like that the position that where Jack is getting that money, I have a feeling that she's gonna use that money to blackmail someone to get that information. Or something like that. Or if she finds out who Cole's work for and do an exploit. I have this feeling the reason why she need that money is one is to survive and the other one is to pay someone off to figure something out. Right? And when her sister got arrested, there's a reason why she got... I have a feeling that there's a reason why she's in jail right now. Because she has to go get a solicitor and actually has to go through all this. Right? Remember, there's a lot of like moving parts here. One of them is the ex-boyfriend Jeff, right? That has this thing against Jack, and you have Cole, but has right now potentially set up to kill his best friend and trying to set up Jack in the pretense of like, I'm helping you, quote unquote. Now we're in this stage that, okay, Jack has the money. I need to figure out how to combine all this information to clear her name and do a proper investigation against the death of her husband.
Join us in our next episode where we discuss chapters 15 through 19 in 0 days. Thank you for opening the book with us today. Subscribe so you won't miss our next episode. We would love to hear from you. Send us an email at yourbookmarksinfo@gmail.com. Join us again right here where you left off.